In my life, I found that important moments can creep by if I'm not intentional about stopping and taking stock. I'm one of those people who has trouble remembering exactly what the date of a birthday or anniversary is. I've got to get my calendar out and look at it all the time. But I definitely would feel a sense of loss if I didn't make an effort to pay attention to those events. Time, I don't know if you experienced this, but I feel like time moves faster and faster every year. Truly, I feel if I blink sometimes, I miss an entire month or maybe a year. I think we human beings are both blessed and cursed with our highly evolved intelligence and self-consciousness. We need to pay attention to the rhythms of our own life cycles and fully experience all the bittersweet tides that flow both in and out of our lives. And this morning, that's what we're doing. We're taking time to become alive to our own cycles of life and death, loss and gain, joy and sorrow, promise and pain. And pausing as we begin this new year, we take stock of that old year, which is past. Even while we anticipate the future, which is just dawning, we stand in reverence before the miracle of being alive in this amazing and transitory creation. In our time together, as we meditate, reflect, listen, write, speak, and sing, may each of us realize how very holy and even mysterious the gift of life is, with its ever-changing and unstoppable tides. So as we acknowledge the turning of the year, I invite you now to take a moment to remember the miracle from which we come. Here are the words of Robert T. Weston. Out of the stars in their flight, out of the dust of eternity, here have we come. Stardust and sunlight mingling through time and through space. Out of the stars have we come. Up from time, out of the stars have we come. Time out of time, before time, in the vastness of space, Earth spun to orbit the sun, Earth with the thunder of mountains newborn, the boiling of seas. Earth warmed by sun, lit by sunlight, this is our home. Out of the stars we have come. Mystery hidden in mystery, back through all time. Mystery rising from rocks in the storm and sea. Out of the stars rising from rocks and the sea, kindled by sunlight on earth, arose life. Ponder this thing in your heart. Ponder with awe. Out of the sea to the land, out of the shallows came ferns. Out of the sea to the land, up from darkness to light, rising to walk and to fly, out of the sea trembled life. Ponder this thing in your heart. Life up from sea, eyes to behold, throats to sing, mates to love. Life from the sea, warmed by sun, washed by rain. Life from within, giving birth, rose to love. This is the wonder of time, the marvel of space. Out of the stars swung the earth, life upon earth rose to love. This is the marvel of life. Rising to see and to know, out of your heart, cry wonder, sing that we live. Each year marks several moments in time, moments we'll call turning points this morning. We will look at those turning points of the year that have just come to an end and the year that has just begun. And let us begin by remembering those we have lost to death. All the significant life transitions we human beings experience, perhaps the most monumental and emotional is death. Each year, because we are all caught up in an intricate web of interdependence and interconnectedness with other human beings, we feel the pain that comes from losing people whose lives have been intertwined with ours. In 2018, death has touched each and every one of us. We've lost cherished loved ones, family members, companions, soulmates, neighbors, friends. The loss and the sorrow we feel is a tribute to the love and connection we have felt for those departed ones who have shared part of our life's journey with us. I now invite our worship associate, Mary, to light a candle. One candle as we acknowledge the members of this particular community we have lost this past year. Robin Thornton. Shirley Ann Olson. Those were two members of our UUCF community who passed away this year. And we miss those people, knowing at the very least they live on in our memories of them, in the stories we tell, and the experiences we shared together. I invite our worship associate now to light another candle. And this candle is for all those dear family members, parents, siblings, spouses, aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, and nephews, and close friends that we have lost in the last 12 months. And so I'm going to invite you now, if there is someone that you lost that had died in the last year, that you would like for us to know their name and their relationship to you. So just very briefly, my uncle Sam, and just letting us know who that person is, you're invited to do so at this time as an honor, a way of honoring them and acknowledging that their memory still lives on in our hearts.
My husband, Steve Egan, a 45-year.
My father, Bud Knuth.
My mother-in-law, Harriet Clark, at age 96.
My Aunt Jane.
My husband, Kenneth Irwin Crowder.
My cousin, Michael.
My cousin, Malcolm.
My sister, Jenna.
Ron Grime, our friend.
Finally, I invite our worship associate to light a candle for all those other losses that we might have experienced this year. There might be the loss of someone who was in the public eye, who contributed positively to our lives through their actions in the public sphere. Might be the loss of a job, a relationship, loss of health, loss of time. There are so many losses that affect our lives. This morning, we don't run from acknowledging those losses. We see them as part of the cycle of life, knowing it brings up places of pain and vulnerability. And I invite you into a spirit of prayer and meditation as I offer these words. We gather together at the beginning of a new time. We stand on the edge of a wilderness that is a true wilderness. No one has entered it before us. Yet there is also that in us which causes us to face the unknown territory cautiously and anxiously, Now in this place, we take time out of time to look back, to see where we have been and what we have been, to reflect upon what we have learned thus far on our journey. We gather together to remind each other to seek for our true north and to encourage, to place courage in one another. When we leave this past place, we must each find our own path. We must walk alone. But now and then we may meet. When we meet, may we offer each other the bread of our being. And oh, my brothers, oh, my sisters, if you hear me plunging wildly, despairingly through the thicket, call out to me. Call me. And if you find me sleeping in the snow, awaken me, lest my heart turn to ice. And if you hear my music praising the mornings of the world, then in that other time, in the blackness of my night, sing it back to me. So next we will acknowledge all those persons who have been born into our world this past year. It was E.B. White who said, "Hold a baby to your ear as you would a conch shell, and it's the sounds of centuries you hear. New centuries foretell." Who can break a baby's code? And which is the older, the listener or his small load, the held or the holder? In the past year, many millions of infant children have been born into this world, just as the ebbing tide of death has washed so many persons away from us. The shores of humanity have been replenished by a fresh, new, hopeful incoming tide of new persons eager to live life and make our world a better place. Through our infant children, humanity renews itself and offers a vision of hope for the future. So I invite our worship associate to light a candle for all those children born into our immediate circles of love and concern, the children born into our extended families, and the children born to our close friends. And so I'm going to invite you to come forward if you'd like, if you've been touched by a birth this past year, and to say the one who has been welcomed into your life.
Three great nieces and nephews, Anne Guberman, great niece, Finn, great nephew, and Kayla, great niece.
My great nephew, Elliot Monroe.
My granddaughter, Delilah.
Liz's nephew, David, had a son, Diego, and we're happy to have them.
Lastly, let's light a candle this for every child born this past year everywhere on this planet. And I think we all feel that call to work for a world where every child receives the love, dignity, opportunity, and joy that should come to them just for being a human being.
Hear now the words of Reverend Alan Taylor, a Unitarian Universalist minister at Unity Temple in Chicago, as he speaks of his hopes for our future. "I want our children to develop what I call critical inquiry, the capacity to think critically and inquire out of a sense of genuine interest. I want our children to learn of the inspiring heritage we have. I want our children to know there is indeed hope in the world, that there are morals, that there is such a thing as right and wrong, and there are differing degrees of rightness and wrongdoing. I want our children to become human beings of compassion, achievement, integrity, and discipline. I want our children to learn how to make good decisions, drawing on the authority of personal experience, the authority of reason, and the authority of tradition. I want our children to know where we human beings have failed, and to have the hope that we can move forward. I want our children to know that they are the authors of their lives, that they are free to explore the wide wonders of the world, free to compose their lives as the seed within them dictates. I want to dare our children to be creative rather than passively accept the world just the way things are. I want our children to discern what is truly important to them. Finally, I want to spark our children's imaginations so that they may dream and envision a world that is better than the one we've got so that they can bring it into being. I want all of these because I believe that in each child and adult, there lies dormant life's longing for itself.
So in 2018, we have been touched by the great cycle of birth and death. And each and every one of us has also been caught up in the universal cycle of joy and sorrow. I'd like us to think for a moment as we're thinking about birth, new life into the world. I want you to think of the things in 2018 that were born into the world that were positive things for you. Things that might seem small to other people, but that have meant a lot to you. It might have been the kindness of another person, a connection to someone, the sense of belonging or being needed. Whatever it might have been in 2018 that helped give you a sense of purpose and carry on and move forward, I invite you to consider that at this time. I also invite you to remember the positive things that this community does to contribute to the larger world, our time, talent, and treasure. And so during the time of our offertory music, I invite you to use it as a time of reflection, to think about the positive things that hold this community together and the positive things that have been brought into your life over the past year that have helped you to find a sense of being spiritually nourished in a time when there are so many challenges. I invite you to give generously as we begin our new year, as we begin visioning what can be for the world for 2019. So, no matter how joyous or hopeful a year we might have had, or not, each of us nonetheless inevitably comes into the new year with something we need to let go of. Regrets about aspects of ourselves which we wish we could change, with unpleasant memories, things that might have happened over the last year that we now would like to let go of. I think even the most sterling among us comes to the new year a little tarnished. Maybe with some character flaws or things we could work on, harmful habits, unkind inclinations, certain prejudices, gnawing guilts, unhealed wounds, and regrets for actions for which we now stand in need of someone else's forgiveness. Or perhaps it's the other way around. Maybe we're holding on to something another has done to us that we need to let go of. A place where we need to forgive one another. I don't think there's any shame in acknowledging that these things weigh us down, for we are all flawed human beings dealing with our imperfections. I want to say something I've noticed this past year. So many people have come to me with relationship issues, and I thought maybe this was just something I was experiencing at this particular location in this moment in time. But I was speaking with our UUA congregational rep this week who talks to a lot of different churches, and he confirmed that, yeah, this is a thing right now. It seems like the stresses of the world are really working their way into our relationships. That's my theory. And so I invite you to think about how to treat the loved ones in your life gently. I know we have a grief group that meets here every month, and one of the things someone said to me as this person was leaving this week was, I'm going to go home and hug the person who's waiting for me at home. Because even though I lost somebody else, sitting in that room made me realize how fragile life is and how we could lose anyone at any given moment. And it gave that person the sense of gratitude for who happened to be waiting at home for them, who might be in their life. And so I want you to think about that as you think about going forward in this year, because I think it's a real thing. I think it's tough out in the world right now, and I think that those challenges manifest themselves in our interactions with one another and our relationships. And so moving forward gently with the people who are close to us in our lives is, I think, one resolution we all should take to heart this year. But I'm also going to invite you into a time of silent reflection. And this is where the little slips of paper come in handy. Is there anybody who didn't get one of those slips of paper? We have some up here that Mary will bring around to you if you raise your hand right now. I'd like for everybody to be able to do that. Just a couple folks out here. You don't have to be sheepish about it. You didn't do anything wrong. You're not being graded. Just raise your hands good and high until Mary can come over to you and give you a piece of paper. Either Mary. But what I'd like you to do in this moment of silent reflection is to think about one thing that you need to let go of from this past year. And it might be something that will help you to be more present in the relationships in your life. It might be something that you need in order to move forward with the work that you do in the world, whatever that may be. Whatever it is, I'd like you to write that on that piece of paper. It's only going to be seen by you. No one is going to judge you or see what you put there. But we're going to have a little ritual around that and let some of those things go. But before we do that, I want you to just take that moment of silence and think about what it is you need to write on that piece of paper that you need to let go for 2019. So in just a moment, I'll invite Christine to play. While you come forward, we have two stations with water. And the beginnings of that water came from our water communion back in September. And I'm going to invite you to put that paper in the bowl. It will dissolve almost magically, not quite. This is our version, a more sanctuary-friendly version of what a lot of you churches do on this day every year, which is a fire communion. But since we rent, we have modified that a bit. But this isn't magic, of course, and it's not a cure-all. But there's something about walking through the ritual of making the gesture of letting something go that is important to our bodies and our souls. So I ask you to give it a shot. I'm going to do it myself. But it is a way of acknowledging that there are things that we need to let go, and we will be intentional about letting them go this year. And then as you do come forward, I invite you to take one of the cards from the silver trays that are at each station and take that card back with you, and I will explain what that is all about after we are finished with this. So notice the cloudy water. They just don't go away completely, do they? There's something left behind. And maybe that's okay. I mean, maybe that's part of the point of letting something go, is remembering that we have to be intentional about it, that we do have to recognize that we have to be wary and careful and pay attention to whether that thing is really, really out of there or whether we're still holding it with us. But I say that for whatever you had to let go of this morning, what any of us did, that we truly let go of that in a sense of forgiveness of ourselves and other people, and that we begin again in the spirit of love. And that's what those cards are about that you received this morning. They are cards that you can look to in order to have a word to focus on this upcoming year, something to use for reflection and meditation, something that can maybe be a way of focusing what it is that you might want to do within yourself in this upcoming year. I know for me, I keep coming back to the same question. What does a more loving and just world look, feel, and act like? As we seek greater justice, equity, and compassion, as we care for and protect the vulnerable, as we meet the challenge of climate change and immigration and everything happening, how do we put love into practice? Around the world, humanity needs to be moved to say, protect, nurture, support, and show up for who, where, and what we love. Caring deeply, gratefully, abundantly, generously, and abidingly draws us back into dangerous spaces. It helps us keep going when we're weary or afraid, revives our spirit and blesses us with joy, and reminds us always why we're taking risks. So whatever your word is on your card, I would invite 2019 to also have a spiritual touchstone word of loving. Loving this earth, one another, a stranger as ourselves. Loving mercy and compassion. Loving boldly and with thanks, forgiveness, generosity, kindness. We're living in a time of hate mongering. We're living in a time of sorrow and fear and exhaustion. And so I believe we are called this year in particular to bring more love into the world. I think that's what the world needs, and I think there have to be people in community willing to band together and bring that love about. So that's your job this week, to begin thinking about maybe using your card as a starting point. But whatever it is, how you can bring more love into the world. What's your call to bring more love into the world this year? I think each and every one of us has something we can bring to the world that expands love. I invite you to figure out what it is and do it.